Psalm 91 concerns the security that we have in our Lord. It is a wonderful psalm. It looks at the Lord's divine protection and deliverance of the righteous and the reward that He gives those who trust in Him. It is indeed a psalm of divine assurance that we as believers can apply to our lives. The Hebrew begins in verse 1, Yoshev beseter elyon betzel Shaddai yit lonan. Notice, as we look at the translation, the one who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall lodge in the shadow of the Almighty. First of all, we have the participle Yoshev, which is a co-active participle, masculine singular, from the root yashav, meaning to dwell. Note that the vowel pattern here is the O-class vowel followed by the tsere that gives it away as an active participle of the cow stem. So we would translate this, one who dwells. Beseter is a series of words in construct. Notice be is the preposition and means in. Seter is a noun meaning secret place or shelter. It is in construct with elyon, which is a noun masculine singular and means most high. It is a proper name for God. So we would translate this phrase in the shadow of the Most High. Betzel Shaddai, be is a preposition, in, and sel is a noun meaning shadow, followed by Shaddai, which is a noun masculine singular rendered almighty. This is another word defining the Lord in His might or in His strength. It is interesting that this same expression, El Shaddai, is the term used in Genesis 17:1 for God's name. We are not exactly sure of the derivation of this word. Some suggest that it comes from an Akkadian source that means mountain, as in Shadu. If this is the case, it can look at His great power and strength that provides a shadow for the one who will lodge under it as the great omnipotent one whose power strengthened the psalmist. And really, we could say all believers, all of us today. Notice again, Betzel Shaddai is in the construct form. So we translate it in the shadow of the Almighty. This is followed by the verb yit lonan. Notice yit lonan is a hit polel imperfect third masculine singular from the root lun, which means to abide. It is a biradical root, and notice the doubling of the nun and the O-class vowel with the yit prefix. So we would translate it as he who abides or dwells. So the one who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall lodge in the shadow of the Almighty. What a beautiful, beautiful picture that this psalm gives us of the Lord's protection. We that dwell in the Lord will dwell in His shadow. It is interesting that the word shadow here could be a picture of a bird hovering or dwelling under the wings of its mother. So it's a beautiful picture here of God's protection and deliverance of His own who are willing to trust in Him. The psalmist also is looking at the shadow of perhaps a great mountain where one is willing to abide under as a rock of protection. The Lord would be there to bring a shadow of covering over the psalmist from all the adversity of bad circumstances that he might have to face. As believers today in Jesus, the Lord Jesus said that He would have taken Israel under His wings as a mother hen, but she would not in Matthew 23:37. So when we trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and dwell under His wings, what a beautiful picture then, we are eternally protected. Verse 2 of Psalm 91 reads, Omar le Adonai Maxi, Umetsudati Elohai Evdachbo, or Evtachbo. Notice the translation here, I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Notice Omer is a cow imperfect, first person common singular from the root amar, to say. Notice that the aleph of amar has elided, and the aleph here is indicating the first person singular. This is what we call a pe aleph verb, in which the aleph is the first radical of the root, and the o vowel is the characteristic of the pe aleph verb. We might think of a term like vayomer in Genesis 1, and God said, where we have a third masculine singular and an O-class vowel used in the imperfect, probably due to what we might call dissimilation in the historical development of the verb, where yemer or yemer dissimilated and became yomer. So here we have the same phenomenon, except the aleph of the root has elided or dropped out, but we still maintain the O vowel, though, after the initial aleph prefix, showing that it's the first person. So we translate this, I will say, followed by le Adonai. Notice the lamed here is a preposition meaning to, and yod he vav he is the personal tetragrammaton name for God, rendered Yahweh. We could translate this Yahweh, or just Adonai, as the Masoretes had put the vowels to the word Adonai, meaning master, into yod he vav he, so that we would pronounce it in that way. Notice the next word, machsi, is a noun singular with a first common singular pronominal suffix from machseh, which means my refuge. Notice the he dropped out, and we have in the suffix a hirik yod, showing that we are looking at the first person singular. We render the verse, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. Umetsudati, the next word and conjunction is u, is a conjunction. Ve me became u me with the shurik in the conjunction here. And metsudati is a noun, feminine singular, with a first common singular suffix. So we would translate this as my fortress or stronghold. Actually, the noun is in construct with e, which is your first person singular pronominal suffix. So metsuda becomes metsudat here in construct. Notice Elohai is a noun masculine plural with the first common singular suffix. Notice we would translate this my God. Elohai comes from Elohim, looking at the power of God. This is followed by the pronominal suffix I, which is added to plural nouns. The plural name for God here, I believe, anticipates, as a Christian, the reality of the Trinity seen through the eyes of progressive revelation, pointing to the one God who exists in three distinct persons. It shows a plural of His majesty, I believe, anticipating the eternal reality of the triune Godhead. Elohim also occurs in the plural, and I believe that, again, that allows for the reality of the Blessed Trinity seen through the progressive development of Scripture. Eftach bo, notice, Eftach is a cow imperfect, first common singular, with a first common singular prefix from the root batach, which means to trust. Notice the aleph does indicate the first person. Be is an inseparable preposition in, and O is the third masculine singular pronominal suffix. So we would translate this phrase, in whom I trust. So I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. We can say that in all of life, trust needs to be in the Lord, who made the heaven and the earth. We are to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, and we are told that the Lord provides constant protection for us. He is our refuge. He is our fortress. In the New Testament, in Romans chapter 8, Paul will say, I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall ever be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. We have impregnable protection in Jesus Christ, who is for Christians our refuge and our fortress. As we come on then to verse 3, the text reads, Ki hu yatzilcha mepach yakush medever havod. As the psalmist goes on in this great text, notice as we would translate this phrase, For he will deliver you from the snare of the hunter and from the pestilence of destructions. Notice the ki hu yatzilcha. Ki is the conjunction for, followed by hu, which is a personal pronoun, third masculine singular, translated he. Notice it is emphatic here. We don't really need it because the verb is automatically in the third singular. So it makes the phrase very emphatic. He will deliver you. We could almost say he will deliver you. Yatzilcha is a hifil imperfect third masculine singular with a second masculine singular suffix from the root natsal. Notice we have a doggish forte in the tsate, showing that we have a doubling, hence an assimilation has occurred. This is a peinun verb from the root natsal, so the form yansil became yatsil with the nun assimilating by progressive assimilation into the tsade. Notice also we have an ai vowel pattern, which automatically gives it away in the imperfect as a hifil, followed by the pronominal suffix, second masculine singular, in the cha. So we would translate the phrase, for he will deliver you, followed then by mepach yakush. Notice min, mit is from min, it's a preposition meaning from. Notice the nun has assimilated into the fi, causing a doubling. And pach is a noun, masculine singular, meaning trap or snare here. Followed by yakush, and here we have a noun in construct, the snare of the fowler. So we would translate the phrase from the snare of the hunter or fowler. The Lord promises to deliver the psalmist from those traps laid by adversaries and men who would seek to destroy him. We know, as Christians, Satan and the demons attack believers, but we can be assured that the Lord is the one who delivers us, because he that is in us is stronger than he that is in the world. Notice, Medever Havog, Men in the next words is a preposition from, and again the noon of men has assimilated into the dalet. And dever is a noun masculine singular, and it is in the construct form meaning pestilence, followed by habot, which is a noun feminine plural meaning destructions. Notice ot gives it away as a feminine plural. So we would translate this phrase as from the pestilence of destructions. So the Lord is promised here to deliver you, it says, from the snare of the hunter and from the pestilence of destructions. The Lord will deliver the psalmist from traps that are laid and from the plague of destruction that would have destroyed him. As we look at the New Testament, as Christians, as believers in Jesus, it is significant that the Lord promises to bring the deliverance to his own in John 17, in his great high priestly prayer, by keeping them secure. The prayer is including all believers that we would be kept from the evil one and from the kingdom of Satan, who has laid traps to destroy God's people. It is wonderful to know that the Lord Jesus Christ constantly prays and intercedes for us and for our protection against all of Satan's activities that he would engage in against his people. As we continue in this beautiful, reassuring psalm, it continues then, Evrato yasek lak, v'tachat kenafav techse sina v'socheira amito. Notice he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth is a shield and buckler. Ki, or beh here, is the preposition, again, that means in or with. Eptach is a noun feminine singular meaning pinion. It is significant that in this construction, in this form, it is in construct. And the O is the third masculine singular suffix. So we would translate it with the pinion of him, or with his pinions. Yasek lak, yasek is a hifal imperfect, third masculine singular, from the root sakek. Notice to cover, sakek. Le is a preposition that's inseparable that follows it with the ak, which is your second masculine singular suffix u. So we would translate this phrase as he will cause you to be covered. Notice the hifal stem here looks at the Lord making it possible for the psalmist and all of us to have protection under his wings. What a beautiful picture. Followed by v'tachat kenafav. Ve is the conjunction, and tachat is a preposition meaning under, followed by kenafav, which is a noun masculine plural with a third masculine singular suffix on a plural form, his wings. Notice the comets, the yod, the vav is indicative of a pronominal suffix, third masculine singular, put onto a plural noun. This is followed then by techser, which is a cow imperfect, second masculine singular from chasa, meaning to take refuge. So we would translate this word as you will take refuge. The picture here is a beautiful picture. It reminds us of the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 32, where the Lord speaks of himself as an eagle that took Israel under his wings and cared for her, and hovered over her, teaching her to fly. So the Lord covers us as we go through life, and his protective wings are like a bird covering its young, which would be believers that come under his wings in our Lord Jesus. We go on then, Sina v'socheira amito. Notice Sina is a noun feminine singular that means shield. Here it looks at a large shield that protects the entire body. And ve is the conjunction and so chera is a noun feminine singular meaning buckler. And it looks at that which goes around the loins of the body for protection. Notice the ending ah, the he here, gives it away as feminine. And so for this is followed then by amito, is a noun feminine singular with a third masculine singular suffix, his truth. So we translate this phrase, and his truth is a buckler or a shield. A shield and buckler, I should say. What a beautiful picture. He will cover you with his pinions, the psalmist says, and under his wings you will take refuge. His truth is a shield and buckler. When we look at this in the New Testament Christology, Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, in John 14:6. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Over and over again, the truth is found in Jesus Christ as the centerpiece of what is true, and so we get to know Christ through the Word of God, which is also that which is true in that it takes us to Christ. And then we have protection, as it were, with a shield given to us against the onslaughts of Satan and the demonic kingdom in this world. It is also significant that the Lord Jesus said to Israel again, O Israel, I would have taken you as a hen gathers her chicken under her wings, but you would not, in Matthew 23:27. So what a beautiful picture. The Lord Jesus again will take all who put faith in him and place them under his wings with his divine eternal protection. This is followed then in verse 5. By the following words then, Lo tira mepachat laila mechets ya'uf yomam. So the psalmist goes on to say, do not fear, do not be afraid of the terror by night or the arrows that fly by day, or you will not fear. From the terror of the night or from the arrows that fly by day. Notice lo is a negative particle, and normally it means never, which is a real assurance. In the Ten Commandments, lo is used. Al is often used for something temporary, that is, ayin lamed. Don't shut the door right now. If you said lo, never shut the door, it would mean never. So, this is a negative particle that shows God's ongoing protection. Notice, and the fact that we don't have to fear then because of it. Ongoing encouragement not to fear. Notice, tira is a cow imperfect second masculine singular from yare, to fear. So we would translate this phrase as, you will not fear. Notice the peyod verb here. Since the yod is retained, it is what we call a historically pei yod verb rather than a pei vav verb. For example, yeshev is a pei vav verb from yashav because the yod has dropped out. Historically, it was a vav. Where here, this was always historically a yod in yara because it continues in its constant. Notice, mipachat laila, me is a preposition again, from, with the noon having assimilated in the pay. So it's min pachat. Notice, pachat is a noun masculine singular, and is in the construct form. So we would translate this word from the tear of the night. Laila is a noun meaning night. So, the good news is, when darkness comes, the sun goes down, it can really bring in anxiety and fear and terror. But the psalmist says one will not need to be terrified by the darkness because the Lord is there to protect. I'm reminded of Psalm 139, where the darkness will not darken itself from you, speaking of the Lord in the beautiful way that it's written in Hebrew. Notice the next phrase, Mechetz Ya'uf Yomam. Again, May is from the preposition men. The noon has elided here, since the chet cannot be doubled, being a guttural. And what we have is compensatory lengthening under the men, changing to May, the noon having elided. Notice the next word, chetz, is a noun, masculine singular, meaning arrow. So we would translate this word as from the arrow, followed by the verb ya'uf, which is a cow imperfect, third masculine singular, from the root uf, to fly. So the arrow that flies, or from the arrow that flies, yomam, by day. Yom is the noun meaning day, and here we have an adverbial ending in the am. So from the arrow that flies by day. What a beautiful encouragement. We're told that you will not fear then of the terror of the night or from the arrow that flies by day. Daily, there can be an assault against the psalmist, and the good news is that one need not fear whether it is night or day. Though the arrow is secretly pointed at the psalmist, he is protected from the Lord. Again, I am reminded in the New Testament of Ephesians chapter 6 that part of a Christian's spiritual protection is to take the armor of God to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And in Ephesians, it looks at a life lived by faith, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, becomes a shield by which one is able then to quench or extinguish all the flaming darts of the wicked one brought by Satan or from his demons. We read on then, Medever be'ofel yachalok, meketev yashud tzachurayim. Notice, or the pestilence that walks in darkness, or of the destruction that destroys in the noonday. Medever is from the preposition min, again, from, the noon assimilating again in the dalet, and then ba'ofel, be, is the preposition in, and ofel is a noun that means darkness. Yahalok is a cow imperfect, third masculine singular from halak, which means to walk. So we would translate this as it will walk. In other words, the imagery is that of pestilence walking around in the darkness to assault and destroy the life of a believer. But one does not have to fear for this, for the believer has his protection in the eternal seal of the Lord. He goes on, Meketev Yashud Zachurayim. Meketev, again, we have the preposition from, men, followed by ketev, which is a noun masculine singular, rendered destruction. And then we have Yashud, as a cow imperfect, third masculine singular from Shadad, meaning to waste or to destroy. So we would translate the word as it destroys. Notice the dalets here, the final dalet, has elided in this imperfect form. From Shadad, we've lost one of the dalets, and we end up with Yashud. Zachurayim is a dual ending noun, masculine plural, meaning noonday, with a comets here under the resh because of the lengthening of the pathak here in the accent, in, which is in the penultimate position at the end of the verse. So we have a lengthening from ayim, from the pathak to the comments. Just a note on that minor lengthening that occurs here. We translate this then, or the pestilence that walks in darkness, or of the destruction that destroys at the noonday. When the sun is very bright, there is still the potential of destruction that would destroy one with a sunstroke. At night, when pestilence walks around in the darkness, the psalmist is perfectly safe as well, for the Lord is protecting him. Again, as we look at the Lord's protection, I'm reminded of Romans 8:31, where Paul writes again, "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who spared not his own son, but delivered himself over on our behalf, shall he not also freely with him give us all things? Who shall call anything to the charge or to charge against the elect of God? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, rather being raised, is at the right hand of God, and is always making intercession for us." Again, this great text supplies the protection of both darkness and daytime that the Lord will give through Jesus Christ, which is that constant protection that through his death and resurrection he gives to believers who become followers of him. Notice in Psalm 91, verse 7, we continue, "Yipol v'tzidecha elef u'revava miminecha elecha lo yigash." And so, as the psalmist continues, "A thousand shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right side, but it shall not come near you." Yipol mitzidcha, yipol, the first two words, the first word, I should say, is a kal imperfect, third masculine singular from nafal, to fall. Notice it is a peinun verb, and the nun assimilates by progressive assimilation into the pei here, and we would translate the word as may fall. And mitzidcha, mitzidcha, min is the preposition from. Notice again the nun is assimilated into the sate of min, and siddecha is a noun masculine singular meaning side, said, with cha, which is the second masculine singular pronominal suffix meaning you or of you, your. So we would translate the word from your side. Aleph urevava miminecha. Aleph is a noun masculine singular and means a thousand. And urevava is the conjunction u and followed by revava, which is a noun feminine singular meaning 10,000. Notice the ending. The hey ending here gives it away as a feminine noun. So we translate this word as and 10,000, miminecha. Again, min is the preposition from. Notice the noon has elided here. Yemini is an adjective meaning right. And notice that the cha is a second masculine singular pronominal suffix, your. So what we have here is mi yeminecha becoming mi minecha, and we would translate it then at your right side. Elecha is el, which is a preposition meaning near, and ha is a second masculine singular pronominal suffix, your. So we render the phrase as unto you. This is then followed by lo yagash. Lo is the negative particle meaning not. Yagash is a cow imperfect third masculine singular from nagash, which means to come near. Notice it is a pay noon verb where the noon has assimilated again by progressive assimilation into the gimel. So we would translate this phrase as it will not come near. 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right side, but it shall not come near you. Even though all around the psalmist negative things are occurring, destruction will not come near to him. What is encouraging is that Jesus Christ again protects us constantly, as we've been seeing throughout Romans chapter 8 by application from a text like this. We then move on to Psalm 91, verse 8, where it says, Rak be'enecha tabit, v'shilumat reshaim tir'eh, which we would translate, only with your eyes you shall look, and the recompense of the wicked you shall see. Notice rak here is an adverb, only, and be'enecha is the preposition beit, and it means in, followed by ene, or ene. Ene is a noun feminine plural, meaning eyes, in construct form with cha, a second masculine singular pronominal suffix, your. So we render this as with your eyes. Tabit. This is followed by the verb in the hifil imperfect second masculine singular, the verb from the root nabat, to look or regard. Again, it is a pay noon verb, and the noon has assimilated into the bait. So tanbit has become tabit. Notice the AI bow pattern again, which gives it away as a hifil. This is followed by Vashilumat Reshaim Tir'eh. Vashilumat, that phrase is the conjunction ve, and Shilumat is a noun feminine singular and means a recompense. And it is in the construct state, and it comes from Shiluma. And so we translate this word as and the recompense of, followed then by Reshaim, which is an adjective meaning wicked or the wicked ones. And the im ending indicates a masculine plural ending. Notice Tir'eh is a cow imperfect second masculine singular from the root ra'ah, to see. So we would translate it as you will see. Only with your eyes you shall look, and recompense, and the recompense of the wicked you will see, the psalmist says. So the psalmist is told he will see the recompense of the wicked with his eyes. One is reminded how the Lord promises to care for his own, and we have already seen the defeat of Satan. Jesus says that the prince of this world has been judged in John 16:11. It is significant that the Lord promises then to bring recompense upon the wicked. Those who would follow Satan become children of judgment, Paul would say in Ephesians 2:3. Our Lord Jesus Christ says that at the resurrection in John 5:25, that all who are in the tombs will hear the voice of the Son of Man and come forth. They that have done good unto a resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto a resurrection of judgment. Salvation is by faith alone, but works show the reality of that faith. If there, as I've often said, if there is fire in the fireplace, there should be smoke coming out of the chimney. And in Matthew 25, the Lord would say, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you did not feed me. I was thirsty, and you did not give me drink," etc. So someday the Lord is going to recompense those who have been wicked and evil in his sight in the final judgment. And already believers in Christ have seen the recompense of Satan and the demonic realm that was accomplished in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so John in Revelation further tells us that he saw the kingdom of Satan fall as he was cast out from heaven to the earth in Revelation 12:11, and furthermore at the end into the lake of fire in Revelation chapter 20. This is followed by verse 9, "Ki ata Adonai maksi elyon samta me'onecha." Notice 4, you have said, "The Lord is my refuge. The Most High you have placed as your habitation." Ki ata Adonai, the phrase ki begins with the conjunction. It introduces a causal clause here, followed by ata, which is a personal pronoun, second masculine singular you. And again, we have the tetragrammaton, the Yod Heh Vav Heh, Yahweh or Adonai. Maksi Elyon are the next words. Maksi is a noun, masculine singular, from makseh, meaning refuge, with a pronominal suffix, first person singular. Notice the e, the Hiddik Yod, gives it away as a first common singular suffix and means my. And note again that we lose the hey of the noun here when we add the pronominal suffix in the Hiddik Yod. So we would translate it as my refuge. Elyon is a noun masculine singular meaning the Most High. And Samta Me'oneh, which follows, is, first of all, the verb, Samta, is a cow perfect second masculine singular from the biradical root seem, to make or place. You have made or placed would be the translation of this verb, followed by Me'onecha, which is a noun masculine singular from ma'on, meaning habitation. Note the ending ha again is a second masculine singular suffix, pronominal suffix, your. So we would render this phrase as your habitation. For the Lord, the verse then reads, is my refuge, the Most High, you have placed as your habitation. The psalmist is encouraged because he has made the Most High his habitation. We need to make the Lord our refuge for protection. I am reminded of John chapter 15, that we are to abide in Christ and live in Him. The branch draws its resources from the vine. So we, as followers of Christ, must dwell with the Most High in Him, our Lord Jesus Christ, and make Him our habitation. And then we can know that we will have a sure refuge in Him. In verse 10, the psalmist continues, "Lo ta'une elecha ra'a, v'nega lo yigrab be'acholecha." We would translate this, "There shall no evil befall you, or come unto you, and neither shall the plague come near your tent." Lo is a negative particle, not, followed by the verb tehuneh, which is a pu'el imperfect, third feminine singular from the root anah, meaning to happen. Note here that the tav prefix gives it away as feminine, so we would translate this verb as shall befall. Elecha is a preposition with a pronominal suffix, second masculine singular you, followed by ra'ah, which is an adjective, feminine singular, meaning evil. So the phrase would be translated, no evil shall be allowed to befall unto you, come unto you. And this is followed then by the phrase, v'nega lo yigrab be'ahulecha. V'nega is the vav conjunction again, followed by the noun nega, which means scourge. So we would translate this word as, and a scourge, lo yikrab, shall not come near you. Notice lo is the negative particle, meaning never, and yikrab is a cow imperfect, third masculine singular from karab, meaning to come near. So we translate this phrase as shall not come near. And then finally, be'aholecha, be' is the preposition in, and aholecha is the noun masculine singular from ohel, meaning tent, with the suffix cha rendered your. So we translate this as your tent. The verse then is rendered, there shall be no evil that will befall you, and neither shall a plague come near your tent. There shall not be any evil, the psalmist is reassuring, that shall fall, neither shall any plague come close to the psalmist's tent, because the Lord will protect him from it. Again, I am reminded in the New Testament that it says that Satan walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, in 1 Peter 5:8. But the good news is that he that is in us, as we've seen before, is greater than he that is in the world, in 1 John 4:4. So Christ, again, provides that protection from the evil one that would seek to bring a plague and come near to destroy those who are followers of the Savior. In 91:11, or Psalm 91:11, it continues, Ki malachav yetzavelach lishmercha becho derachecha. We render ki melechav, actually we render the verse as, for he will command his angels over you to keep you in all your ways. Notice, ki is a conjunction here rendered for or because, it's causal again, and melechav is a noun masculine plural with a third masculine singular pronomen or suffix, his messengers or angels. Yitzavel lach, shall he will command toward you. Notice Yitzavel is a PL imperfect, third masculine singular from the root Sava, a Lamed He root, to charge. Note the Shava, Pathak, vowel pattern, indicates a PL imperfect, and the Lamed is the preposition to. Ha is the pronominal suffix, again, with lach, second masculine singular, you. So we would translate this phrase as, he will give charge to or for you. Lish morcha, notice the lamed here introduces a cow infinitive construct from shamar, meaning to guard. And ha is the pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. So we would render it as, to guard you. Bechol derechecha, followed by that phrase. Be is the preposition meaning in. Chol is a noun, masculine singular, meaning all or the totality of. And derechecha is a noun, masculine plural from derech, meaning way. Ha, again, is the second masculine singular pronominal suffix, your. So we render this as your ways. He will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways and in all of the doings and comings of life and all of your daily activities and all that you do, the psalmist is saying. What a beautiful reassurance as we render it, for he will command his angels over you to keep you in all your ways. The text is saying that the Lord will command his angels to protect the psalmist and to protect, really, we can say, all believers, that keep them in all of their ways. I am reminded of the rule of angels in our lives as believers in Jesus Christ. Angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those that are the heirs of salvation in Hebrews 2:4. It's good to know that angels accompany us just like they did our Lord throughout his life. Even in the book of Luke, angels are sent and carry the soul of the beggar to the bosom of Abraham. So angels have a role that they play according to this psalm and is taught in the New Testament in protecting believers in Jesus Christ. We are then promised to have these ministering spirits that are with us throughout this life to the very end of our life, and even to the length of everything that we experience in life. They are there as our protectors. Then in verse 12, the psalmist writes, Al kapayim yisaunecha pin tegof be'evan raglecha. We render these words as, upon their hands they shall carry you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Notice al kapayim. Al is the preposition upon, and kapayim is a noun feminine dual meaning hands. And the ayim gives it away as the dual form, so we translate this phrase as on their hands. Yisaunecha is a cow imperfect, third masculine plural from nasa, to bear. Notice it is a paynoun verb, the noon having assimilated into the scene. Then we have u, showing that we are looking at the third person plural, followed by the helping noon consonant. And then ha, which is your pronominal suffix, second masculine singular, meaning you. And so they will bear you upon. Pin tegof, in the next phrase, pin is a conjunction meaning lest. And tegof is a cow imperfect, second masculine singular from nagaf, to dash. So we would translate this as lest you dash, be'evan, against a stone, your foot, be'. Is the preposition in again with, and eben is a feminine noun meaning stone. And raglecha is a noun feminine singular from regal, meaning foot, followed again by the cha, the second masculine singular pronominal suffix. So we would translate this as your foot. The verse then reads, upon their hands they will carry you, lest you so dash your foot against the stone. It is interesting that it was this very text that Satan quoted in the temptation account, in the temptation of our Lord in Matthew chapter 4. For example, when he takes the Son of Man and says, since you are the Son of God, then cast yourself down from the top of the temple. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they shall carry you upon their hands, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Even Satan can quote scripture, but here it is certainly quoted out of context, because for Jesus Christ to jump from the temple would be to appear as the coming Messiah, and that would be before the cross. Satan is tempting Jesus to act independently of the Father's plan of the cross, hence misquoting Scripture. Jesus then replies, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. It is significant that angels ministered to Jesus when he was in the garden also, and helped him through the crucifixion, and then continued to minister to him after the crucifixion in guarding the tomb. So all the way through, the angels ministered to our Lord, but here in Matthew, Satan quotes the psalm out of context to get the Lord to move away from the Father's plan of providing redemption through the cross work by publicly presenting himself as the Messiah before Calvary. And Jesus said, no, you must understand that man lives by bread, not by bread alone, but by the Lord, and you don't tempt the Lord and do what is wrong. And Jesus gives us a pattern there to follow. But the good news is we do have angelic protection throughout life, just as angels had protected the Lord Jesus in his life and had been with him.